Psalm 13, verses 1 to 6.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Psalm 13. Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word this morning, we pray that your spirit would give light to our hearts and minds, that you would guide us, that you would challenge us, and that you would encourage us. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What do you do when it feels as though God isn't listening? How do you react when it feels as though God isn't answering your prayers? This is something that every believer will wrestle with sooner or later. As we pray for those people that we care about, for them to be healed from sickness, for relationships to be restored, or for loved ones and friends and family to come to Christ. We pray for these things because we believe that God is able to intervene in these situations. But often, though, we sincerely pray for God to intervene, it can feel as though He isn't even listening at all. And that's when we all, like the psalmist, find ourselves crying out, "How long, O Lord?" But we aren't the first ones to wrestle with this question of why is God taking so long to answer our prayers? This is something that God's people have always been wrestling with, even all the way back to Abraham. Sometimes we can forget that the people that the Bible talks about were real people who wrestled with real struggles. When Abraham was called by God to leave his friends and his family and the only country that he'd ever known and go to a place that God would show him, Abraham believed that God would do everything that he had promised. God had told Abraham that he'd make his descendants into a great nation, and that even though he was already 75 years old at that point and had no children of his own, that through his descendants, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham believed God's promise and put his faith into action. He took his wife Sarah and they went off to a land that they knew nothing about. And for 11 long years, 11 years, Sarah and Abraham lived in that land as strangers, as foreigners, waiting for God to fulfill his promise. For 11 long years, they lived in a strange land, slowly growing older and older, as the hope of having a child of their own slowly but surely slipped out of reach. Until their cries of, "How long, O Lord," became too much for them, and they took matters into their own hands. Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with what happens next? Sarah, in Genesis 16, Sarah gave her maidservant to Abraham, and she gave birth to Ishmael. Now Abraham finally had a descendant, he finally had an heir at the tender young age of 86. But this wasn't the descendant that God had promised. And because they'd taken matters into their own hands, this firstborn of Abraham, well, it only caused them more problems, more tensions within the family. And so Sarah and Abraham kept on waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promise. For 25 years after God had made his promise to them to make them into a great nation, for 25 years they kept on crying out, "How long, O Lord?" until Abraham finally reached the mature age of 100. And God finally delivered on his promise, and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. There were real people struggling with a real desire for God to fulfill his promise, for him to do what he had said he would do. Waiting on the Lord is something that all believers will wrestle with sooner or later. As we long to see God answering our prayers in the time frame we would like him to, or in the way that we would like him to. But as David wrestles with this same longing to see God answer his prayers in Psalm 13, he is showing us how to trust our Lord in our circumstances and wait on him, even when it feels like God isn't going to answer. Because God is never far away from those who trust in him, and he is always faithful to his promises. Now, Psalm 13 is the shortest of all the deliverance, the prayers of deliverance kind of psalms in the book of Psalms. And yet, even though it's only six verses, it actually has the longest consecutive series of questions out of all of the psalms. These words are the raw, heartfelt feelings of someone who is feeling as though God is a long way away and as though their enemies are triumphing over them. Now, there's no indication in these verses of what David was going through as he prayed this prayer to the Lord. But what we do know from Kings and from Samuel is that David went through many very difficult times. There were many times during Saul's reign that David feared for his life. And even after he became king, his own son Absalom tried to kill him, and David had and his allies had to flee for their lives. Whatever David was going through as he wrote these words, it's clear that this was a prolonged time of trial. That's why David cries out four times in the first two verses, "How long?" Now, it's been said that it's often easier to cope with a severe time of trial as long as we know that it won't last all that long, if we can sort of pull the Band-Aid off, so to speak. But no matter how strong our faith in the Lord is, no matter how mature we are as a follower of Jesus, when that time of trial becomes prolonged, it can be a really significant time of struggle. And that's what David seems to have been facing as he wrote these words. But despite this prolonged time of trial, David doesn't question God's existence or his goodness or his faithfulness. Instead, he is desperately trying to understand why God isn't answering his prayers in the way that he would like him to. He is longing to feel God's presence and crying out for some sort of tangible, visible answer to his prayers. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts every day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me?" David's speaking as though God has abandoned him, while his enemies are gaining the victory. But even as he says these words, he would have known in his heart of hearts that God is never far from those who trust in him. But in his time of anguish, there's a raw honesty in these words. This is genuinely how he felt. Notice he doesn't stay in this dark state of anguish. Instead, he calls on the Lord for deliverance. As he moves from this deep state of anguish to a quite still urgent, but much calmer prayer of petition in verses 3 and 4. David begins to pray that God would reverse his situation. See, back in verse 1, David had felt as though God had turned his face away from him, that he had hidden his face from David. And so he prays, "Look on me and answer, O Lord my God." David is asking the Lord to give him the priestly prayer of Numbers 6:24. You'll recognize these words because we often use these words as our benediction to close our service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. David is longing for the Lord to turn his face toward him and grant him peace. Peace from the anguish that he was feeling. Peace from the enemies who were trying to take his life. And as he asked the Lord to turn his face toward him, David is trying to understand why God was allowing this time of trial to take place. And that's why he prays, "Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death." Now, if David had committed some sort of serious sin, we know about him with Bathsheba, but that's not what's going on here. If David had committed some sort of serious sin, he would have been quick to confess his sin and to call on the Lord for mercy. We know this because he does it in other places in the Psalms. But because David can't see any clear reason for this time of suffering, for any reason why God isn't answering his prayers in the way that he wants and in the time frame he wants, David is pleading to the Lord for wisdom and understanding so that he might be able to understand God's purposes in this situation. God must have answered David's prayer for wisdom and understanding because in verses 5 and 6, David declares his trust in the Lord who is always faithful to his promises. He says, "I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." This is a long way from verses 1 and 2, where he's in incredible anguish. So speaking of the joy that's filling his heart because of his salvation. You see, Psalm 13 is a very helpful prayer for all believers. Because this is the experience of everyone who trusts in the Lord from time to time. We will all have times when we feel as though God is a long way away. We'll all have times when we cry out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord?" As I was reading through my notes this morning, that cry reminded me of those saints who were sitting beneath the altar in Revelation 16, crying out, "How long, O Lord?" This is the normal experience of those who trust in the Lord. As we long to see God answer our prayers in the time frame we would want and in the way that we would want. That isn't where David's prayer ends. As he slowly lifts his eyes off how he feels and off the problem and remembers the Lord's faithfulness to those who trust in him. We'll all have times when we feel as though God is a long way away, but those are just feelings, and feelings are often a very unreliable guide because we can feel as though God is a long way away, even though we know, as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 reminds us, that the Lord promises, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" God will not forget those who trust in him. He will never hide his face from them because he has promised not to and because he is always faithful to his promises. And we know that God is always faithful to his promises because he fulfilled his promise to Abraham, that he would bless all the nations of the earth through one of his descendants. Jesus, God's son, was born as a man. He was tempted in every way, just as we are tempted, yet without sin. He experienced all of the trials and temptations that we struggle with, including the feeling that God the Father is a long way away. And yet, when he experienced that distance from God, he experienced it in a much, much more profound way than we ever will. Because while Jesus was on the cross, God did turn his face away from his son, as all our sin and rebellion was laid on Jesus at the cross. And in those moments, Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? In those moments, God the Father turned his face away from his son so that he would never again have to turn his face away from those who trust in him. Just as David prays in Psalm 13, we too can trust in God's unfailing love. We can have confidence to share our feelings with him no matter what we are feeling, no matter what we are going through. Because God turned his face away from his son on the cross so that he would never again have to turn his face away from those who trust in him. There'll be times when we wrestle with why God isn't answering our prayers the way we want to and in the time frame we want to. Of course, we can't see everything God can see in our circumstances. There'll be times when we struggle to make sense of why God is allowing us to go through an extended time of trial. But even in those times we don't understand, we can be certain that God will never leave us or forsake us because he has promised not to. We can be confident in God's unfailing love for those who trust in him, because God is always faithful to his promises. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful prayer, Psalm 13. We thank you that you give us this prayer that is so real, that so engages the way that we can feel at times. And yet, Lord, we thank you that David doesn't end the prayer in anguish, that his heart and mind is lifted off his troubles and returns to you. Lord, we pray that when we face times of when we're feeling like you are distant, when we face times when we are struggling to understand why you weren't or aren't answering our prayers in the way we would like, we pray that you would help us to lift our eyes off that problem, and to remember your faithfulness and your unfailing love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.